Here's Dr. Don Wilton.
So the bottom line here is that human life is sacred. That's what God is saying to us. When it comes down to the issue of abortion, for example, it's very tragic in America that the 40th birthday of Roe v. Wade is also the 40th death day of millions of unborn babies in our nation, a law-abiding nation in which we value life. In fact, the very charter of our existence begins, we the people. The Encouraging
Word. It's a brand new week and a brand new perspective. So many are saying this series on the Ten Commandments from Dr. Don Wilton is changing their life. On behalf of Dr. Don Wilton and all of us at The Encouraging Word, welcome to this edition. One Life is the title of this particular message in the Living to the Power of Ten series, all about discovering the Ten Commandments in a fresh new way and applying it to how we live our life every day. Know that while we're studying the Word together, we're also available to pray. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's Monday message with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. Let's not lose sight of the fact that when God gave the Ten Commandments, He invited the Israelites to live up to the power of ten. That's what He does for you and me. All of us today are journeying through the wilderness of our lives. If you look at the Israelites, they had so many good things that happened. If we were to just analyze them, there was a lot of good. I mean, there were many times when they had every reason to say, wow, everything's great. They were being blessed, but they also faced their battles. They went through some very difficult times, and some of you today will identify with both sets of that, won't you? The Israelites, as much as they served the Lord, they sinned against Him. And today you and I find ourselves right there. And when God invited them to live up to the power of ten, He gave the Ten Commandments. He wasn't giving them just simply a set of rules. What He was doing is He was showing them how to live in relation to Him, and then how to live in relation to one another. It's not just about what happens with God, but because of my relationship with God, He gives to me and to you the means by which we need to operate with one another and in and of ourselves. Our lives are a direct reflection of our lives in Christ. And so He gave these commandments. And when Jesus came, Jesus didn't come to do away with the rules and regulations. He came to fulfill them. He put them in the context of relationship. As I've said from time to time, the choice we have is to invite Moses into our lives or to invite Jesus. I'm going to invite Jesus. If you run your life according to Moses, you're going to be a legalist. You're going to be nothing but a policy and a manual. And if your life is run according to rules and regulations, you won't be able to do it. You cannot live according to rules and regulations. Christ is the one who came not to replace that, but to fulfill that, to make it possible to live that out. And He did it in the context of relationship. So here in Exodus chapter 20, we read this staggering statement that God made in verse 13. One of the shortest verses I'm going to read to you, Exodus chapter 20, you shall not murder. Some translations use the word, you shall not kill. You may not take life. Now I want you to turn quickly with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Just look at this passage. Wonderful passage. Turn there in your Bible today. Psalm 139. Let's just begin reading, for example, at verse 13. Psalm 139. This is what the psalmist said concerning God. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. You formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Beautiful statement. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. It's talking about life here. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. And it goes on. It's very powerful. Here's what I want to do for you today. I want you to hear the love of God today, not the condemnation of God. So I'm going to make a statement. Everybody ready for this? In a world today in which we have Columbine massacres, mass killings, how about Newtown? Horrendous, very sad. In a day in which abortion, the killing of unborn babies, is sanctioned, in fact, it's just rampant. Where does that leave us? The manner with which we carry out our lives concerning life is a direct reflection of the manner with which we view the source of life, who is God. So if you have a low view of God, you're going to have a low view of life. If you have a non-existent view of God, you have a non-existent view of life. So this awful subject of murder or killing or taking of life and all the rhetoric and all the political stuff that goes on, bottom line, it is God saying to us, I want you to know on the mountaintop that this whole issue of life is going to be governed by the manner with which you relate to me. And when you relate to me, I want you to see one thing, and that is that I love you. Now, let's remember this. The Ten Commandments are not a categorizing of sin. Sin is severe, no matter which way you look at it, because all sin carries the penalty of God. So I want to just make an announcement. Can I just do this? Even the sin of murder can be completely forgiven. So there may be someone today, and for whatever reason, you've gone through an abortion, for example. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and I want you to know that when you turn to Him, that you are completely forgiven. You need to accept that, and you need to understand that, and you need to be set free by that. You remember even Jesus when there was a woman who was caught in adultery, and he said, well, which one of you would like to throw the first stone? This was not about condemning. This was about the redemption of God within the battle of man. Because ultimately what Jesus ended up saying in Matthew 15, he pointed to the heart. He said, let me really burst your bubble, Americans. If you think murder in your heart, you are as guilty as someone who committed an atrocity at Newtown. I mean, that can make me guilty. And that happens in the best of families. How is God involved in life? What has this got to do with this? Murder is about life. It's about the sanctity of life. The reason God was saying, do not murder, is he was saying, you need to understand that life is absolutely sacred. Life is absolutely precious from conception. When does life begin? God's told us. We don't need a debate about that. That's life. God's told us. I've just read it to you. God said that. Not asking us if we'd like to go back to Congress about this. Not for one minute. What's there to talk about? What's to negotiate over? And what God is trying to show us here, folks, is some very deep truths that are tied into the heart of God. So how is God involved in life? Just think about this. Number one, he creates life. Life comes from him. He's the originator. Number two, he redeems life. When he created life, which is his involvement at the very inception of life, and we use the word conception, when life begins between a mother and a father, and that baby is conceived, we know what happened to that life. That life sinned against God, and there came a rupture. It was disrupted. The life blood flow between God creator and man created was interrupted. So what did God do about it? He redeemed it. He said, I'm not going to let there to be an interruption. I'm going to allow the blood to flow. So he redeems life. Number three, he sustains life. He doesn't only save us from our sin, but he sustains us as we live out our lives that are saved from sin. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. And number four, he guarantees life. That's eternal life. So here's four operative things, all right? He creates life, he redeems life, he sustains life, and he guarantees life. So murder is the taking of life, pure and simple. Killing is the taking of life. So what did God mean by this? It's interesting to look at some things that other people, I look at many of my heroes in the Christian faith. You take like John Calvin. I've read all of John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. And when I went back and I said to myself, I wonder what John Calvin would say about this. Really, I'm just summarizing. John Calvin said, when God spoke about thou shalt not murder, he was talking about two things, the active defense of life and the active recognition of life. God was saying that we, A, must actively defend life, but we must also actively recognize the preciousness of life. Matthew Henry, great Bible commentary written by Matthew Henry. I'm sure some of you have become well acquainted with that. Matthew Henry, and I agree fully, said when God said, thou shalt not murder, there were three things that he was not including in that. And I have found this to be true in my study. I'll explain it to you. He was not talking about lawful war. What is a lawful war? Other people use the word justified war, in which there is evil. If you take, for example, the Second World War, those of you who were there, those who have studied it, the Second World War, Adolf Hitler, the Third Reich, the atrocities, marching into Poland and Czechoslovakia, taking over, the murder, the things that were going on, that's a justifiable war. That's what he's talking about. God was not referring to that. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Number two, necessary defense. He wasn't talking about necessary defense. What's necessary defense? Where a life is threatened. So yes, where do you justify abortion? When a mother's life is threatened, when there have been untoward circumstances that have been involved in this, someone walks into your home at night, you've got every right to confront that person to the point at which, sadly, that person's life would be forfeited because they are attacking you and threatening your life. That's called necessary defense. And then the third area is the death sentence, which is, of course, this issue of capital punishment, which is very important debate But capital punishment, this is not what God was talking about. In fact, throughout Scripture, he reiterates that. In fact, capital punishment is tied into the covenant of God, because God tells us that anyone who sheds the blood of man, by man, his blood ought to be shed, because this is the law of God. So capital punishment. The issue here, which I'm not getting into, is the system of law. That's why we have law in the country. When anarchy reigns, if there is no system of law in the country, what happens is you threaten the sanctity of what God is trying to say. Because people can be executed unjustly. One of the hardest things for me to deal with personally is the appeals process. But we've got to understand that the appeals process in a law-abiding country is actually very important. A person condemned for a crime to death ought to be able to have every means exhausted before they are executed. And that's hard to swallow sometimes. And that brings in mitigating circumstances and all the other things, and our attorneys at law will deal with those issues. So the bottom line here is that human life is sacred. That's what God is saying to us. When it comes down to the issue of abortion, for example, it's very tragic in America that the 40th birthday of Roe v. Wade is also the 40th death day of millions of unborn babies in our nation, a law-abiding nation in which we value life. In fact, the very charter of our existence begins, "We the people."
Oh, forgive the interruption. There's more power in God's word to come in just a minute. Dr. Wilton has a great deal more to come, but he insists I interrupt to let you know we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or on the phone line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And again, we had some friends asking yesterday about the growing TBN broadcast and Daystar broadcast. The Encouraging Word is now on television literally around the globe. And if you'd like to discover more, visit our website, theencouragingword.org. Or if you happen to get TBN today, Mondays at 6:30 Eastern, Dr. Wilton's got an exciting message that's coming up later today. That's theencouragingword.org. All the times to see the broadcast are available right there. We'd love to get you connected. Now let's dive back into today's message, One Life, all a part of the Living to the Power of 10 message series from Dr. Don Wilton.
In fact, the very charter of our existence begins, "We the people." We spend most of our waking hours defending the value of every individual person. And we are so determined, we even extend that to whales. If a whale got beached up in the western part of our country and got caught in a sound, it is amazing how many millions of dollars will be spent trying to save a whale. But we are not concerned about killing the babies. In defiance of God's law, it's a reflection of who we are, and it's a reflection of our attitude toward God. It's not justified. It cannot fall into any category. And so what we've done as a nation is we coin beautiful phrases like a woman's right. It's got nothing to do with woman's right, because we value all people, men and women, in every way. And we've got a lot of work to do in every way. This is not about the right of a woman to choose. If that were the case, and we were to follow that logical argument in a nation in which we pride ourselves on the fact that we trust in God, then we wouldn't care about telling that same woman that she cannot go and buy cocaine and put it in her body. We wouldn't care about the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration. We wouldn't care about saying, no, there are some things you can do and you cannot do. This is harmful to you. You cannot do this, man, woman, boy, or girl. So how come, therefore, we as a nation will just simply sanctify and say, well, you've got a right to kill that baby in your body? If, in fact, we are a Christian nation, when you interfere with life, you interfere with the giver of life. The Ten Commandments are not a detached series of instructions. They're a basic unity. They begin in God's heart and they are expressed through our hearts. You'll remember a group of people came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say in Matthew and chapter 22? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And what's the second part of that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Isn't that amazing that Jesus would have connected that interrelationship between God on the mountain and man in the valley? And God is not saying, let me tell you what, I'm going to lower you down to your valley. No, rather he said, I'm going to bring you up to the mountain. I'm going to give you the means by which you indeed can live to the power of 10. And so we know that all sin is not equal. It's not equal in consequence. All sin is not equal in severity. But all sin shatters the unity of God's order. So, for example, young people, watch this. If I was to put up here right now a big sheet of glass, just a huge sheet of glass, and I was to get a hammer and one nail, and I was to choose any point on that glass, and I was to smack that nail into that sheet of glass at any point, what would happen? It would shatter the entire glass. It would break the whole thing. So it is what God is saying here. This is not a detached series of legalistic commands. What it is, it's an infusion of the relationship that we have in Christ. And so, yes, it may be just one little dot or one little speck, but all sin shatters the unity of God's order. And if you get real close into this, we then begin to understand that murder is a heart problem. That's why Jesus said what he said in Matthew 15. Murder is a reflection of a heart problem with God. It's a reflection of a heart problem with yourself. And it's a reflection of a heart problem with your fellow man. It devalues God, yourself, and your fellow man in the eyes of God. Now, take a closer look. I'm not going to get into much detail about this. But the Hebrew verb is very important when it comes to this commandment. Because the Hebrew verb, I'll just transliterate it, retzach. R-E-T-Z-A-C-H or Z-E-C-H, retzach, okay? Retzach in the Hebrew. It's an interesting word, and it has a wide range of meanings. It's the verb that God uses here in this particular passage. It generally describes destructive activity, but it also specifically includes to break, or to dash to pieces, or to slay, to kill, to murder. And the Bible never uses this verb, retzach, in relation to just to war, to fighting war, for example. It's never used. It's not the same verb. It's not the same word that is used when it comes to necessary defense. It's not the same verb that is used when you deal with the death sentence, with capital punishment. When God uses this word concerning this one life, what he uses that word, for example, when the Egyptians slayed or killed the Israelites, or when Moses, remember when Moses killed an Egyptian? Tell you another place where he used it, where Cain killed his brother Abel. Retzach.
Powerful message, and we are just halfway through. Forgive the interruption, but we'll have to break and come back tomorrow with the rest of it. You can hear it online as well at theencouragingword.org. But our pastor wants you to know before we get away that this message and where we're headed can best be summed up in this word, one. You have one life, one opportunity. Let's not miss the opportunity to give our life to Jesus. Before we get away, here are some closing thoughts from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Now, if the Lord has spoken, and you've heard not just the wonderful South African brogue of our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, but you've heard God stir your heart to make a change, let us pray you through that next step. Let us pray you into the change. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. It's easy to remember when you think about it, 866-899-WORD. But here are the actual digits. Maybe you want to store it in your cell. Let us be a contact available for you 24 hours a day to talk and listen and pray at 866-899-9673.
Thank you for being an encourager with me through the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry. You are making a difference in people's lives. Why don't you become an encourager? Partner with us. Partner with me. Become an encourager today and be part of something far bigger than any of us.
When you take this step of faith, you'll receive the exclusive brand new CD DVD resource called Erasing Jesus, a powerful tool that'll help you stand strong in your faith in a world that's somewhat intolerant to Jesus Christ. Also, you'll get a bonus journal just to say thank you for partnering with us. In addition, you'll receive a monthly personal letter from Dr. Wilton, as well as other resource opportunities, a 24-hour confidential live prayer line, a quarterly daily devotional guide, and notifications of events featuring Dr. Wilton in your area. To learn how you can become an encourager, send your request to Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us at 866-899-WORD. Or visit us on the web at theencouragingword.org. We hope you will make your commitment to spread the precious gospel of Jesus Christ around the world with us today. I had a wonderful conversation with one of our encouragers the other day who said, I love the resources. I usually get them to give them away because I've already heard those messages or I've read that book. But they also said something rather unique. You know, I give not to get, but I give to the ministry of the Encouraging Word because I believe in it and I see the fruit of its ministry. Every single day, someone gives their heart to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Encouraging Word every day. I pray that you would perhaps prayerfully consider giving to the ministry of the Encouraging Word. We call them encouragers. You can find out more online at theencouragingword.org. But just pray about it. We could use your help sharing the love of Jesus. Till next time, take care and God bless.